Joining us now is ESPN The Magazine senior NBA writer Rick Bucher. And Rick, if LeBron's elbow is as bad as it is to make him shoot free throws left-handed, what does this mean for the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Man, it changes everything, and it's why, you know, when we prognosticate, and this year more than anything, prognosticating and not keeping in consideration that injuries and health are such a huge, huge factor. But I got to tell you, Jason, you know, the reason that I thought this was the year for the Cavs and for LeBron to finally win one is because I looked at them and I said they have got the youngest superstar. They've got the healthiest superstar, and it just goes to show you that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, if he can't shoot right-handed, then that changes everything. And it brings us to, I mean, I don't know that as good as LeBron is, I don't know that we're going to see, you know, the magic filling in for center for Kareem where he changes his entire game. And he plays on the post and scores left-handed. I don't know that that is in LeBron's wheelhouse. And without him not being 100%, even as good a passer as he is, this, you know, I'm sure the Boston Celtics ears perked up when they heard this, and it will make things very, very intriguing.
Oh, I think right now, Doc Rivers, it's like Cobra Kai at the end of Karate Kid. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg. You hammer LeBron on that elbow when he comes down in the paint.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's interesting because, looking at the Lakers tonight, it's don't underestimate teams that have been there, and particularly the older teams. And I've said this before, and look, they know how long this is. They know that to win what they're after, they have to go into June. So when they don't look right in March or April, and you question their effort and their intensity, hey, it's simply because you can't convince them that playing the Kings on March 22nd is vital to winning a championship. Now, you make them 2-2 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're going to see what they're made of. If you put them up against a hot Miami Heat team, and they realize, look, we got the Cavs coming up, we can't mess around. You're going to get a 5-game series, and you're going to see effort that you haven't seen before. And that's why, you know, to taking how a team is playing down the stretch. Look, if they're a championship seasoned team and they're playing great, well, that's a great sign. But if they're a young team and they're playing great down the stretch, they still haven't seen the playoffs. They still don't know what that's about. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to get chewed up by a championship team when it decides, hey, we need to give it our best.
All right, Rick, let's just say, for instance, that obviously if LeBron can't shoot and he's got to play lefty, that's going to be doom and gloom for the Cavaliers. But let's just say he's a little bit better than he was shooting lefty free throws tonight, but he's still really banged up going into the series, which is kind of where we think he's going to be. How does this change your outlook for just this series between the Cavaliers and the Celtics?
I thought that the Celtics would have a fighting chance no matter what. If LeBron James is not 100%, then I like the Celtics coming out of that series. You know, and I mean, where are we going to put? We're putting him at 75%, 80%. You know, at the end of the day, when the Cavaliers play a great team, as much as they got all sorts of help from different places against the Bulls, the bottom line is when they play a great defensive team, it's still going to end up with putting the ball in LeBron's hands at the end of games to win what would be expected to be close games. And if he can't, if he doesn't have his full arsenal, I don't like their chances.
ESPN The Magazine senior NBA writer Rick Bucher is with us. It's All Night with Jason Smith on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Rick, let's head to the Western Conference now, where it looked like the Lakers were interested for a little while, at least on Tuesday night, blowing out the Oklahoma City Thunder, taking a 3-2 lead there. All the Lakers' problems, Kobe's not shooting, he's shooting too much, the Lakers are getting to the free throw line, they're not getting to the free throw line. I think we saw the real Lakers on Tuesday night.
No question about it. And what they, you know, I figured that the one thing that they needed to do was, you know, Kevin Durant is going to get his. And you can live with that. Much like Boston kind of let Dwayne Wade go and just said, we're not going to let anybody else get it done. Well, they took the same tact in terms of, okay, Kevin Durant, great player, really sort of unstoppable in a lot of ways. We'll make him work for what he gets. But the guy that we really can't let get off, the second guy, that's Russell Westbrook. If he gets off, he's going to get in transition. Then he's not just scoring, but he's getting some of the ancillary players going. And they made a committed effort to take him out of his game. And that's changed everything. Now, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether they can maintain this through Oklahoma City or whether we're going to go to a Game 7. But the Lakers demonstrated everything that they wanted to demonstrate. Not just winning, but saying, you know, I feel like they awakened the lion with the beatdown in Oklahoma City. I mean, I don't know that you would have gotten this performance if it had been like a 3-point win. You know, if it had been a close win, I think the Lakers would have come in and said, "Okay, we're back on our home court. We gave another one away, but we'll be okay." But they were embarrassed in Oklahoma City, and they decided to do the same. And the fact that they came back and did exactly that, this has to put the Oklahoma City Thunder back on their heels a little bit. And the one other thing I got to add here is the fact that, you know, no matter how a team plays, and we saw it with the Hornets a couple years ago, going up against San Antonio, it's a funny thing. They played so well during that series. They went into Game 7, and I said, wow, I got to take the Hornets. They're the better team in this series. But there's a weird thing that happens when a young team suddenly realizes, oh my gosh, we could close out this series. It's not that closeout game is just a different, the playoffs are different from the regular season, and then a closeout game goes yet to another level. And if you've never been there, it's just you don't know how to operate. And the Lakers have been there many, 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 many times. This young Thunder team will be there in the future. But this was their first taste, and they did what young teams usually do. They blinked.
Now, as far as the Lakers go, Rick, I think one thing you did see, to your point on Russell Westbrook, was Kobe Bryant on him almost exclusively, at least through the first half of the game, when Westbrook was awfully, started out with 8 turnovers and 7 points, didn't shoot the ball well at all. Yep. I think this is what you're going to see from the Lakers the rest of the way. They don't have anybody to guard the point guards that are left in the West, whether it's Steve Nash or Andre Miller, whoever they want, Tony Parker. I think you're going to see Kobe taking on a bigger defensive onus as the playoffs go on.
This, you could be right. The difficulty there, obviously, is can you have him do that, and then can you have him with fresh legs in the fourth quarter when you need to win close games? You know, they took the approach that, hey, look, if we can step on them early, this is the Oklahoma City Thunder. If we can get up on them early, they're not coming back on us because they've never been here before. I don't know that you can do that against the top teams, and if you're in a close game and Kobe doesn't have his legs down the stretch, now you've rolled the dice in a tricky way. And I'll go back. This is why, from the beginning, I did not like the letting Trevor Ariza go and getting Ron Artest. Yes, Ron Artest is probably a better matchup for a Carmelo Anthony, potentially, or a LeBron James or Paul Pierce. But the problem is that Derek Fisher has gotten old. Jordan Farmar is not ready. And so you're left with Kobe Bryant having to take the most difficult perimeter assignments. Trevor Ariza could do that.
He's ESPN The Magazine senior NBA writer Rick Bucher. Rick, as always, appreciate your time with us on All Night. We'll talk to you next week.
Jason.